John is our version of the miracle of Jesus Christ today. We're at John 20, verses 1 to 18. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are humble and amazed as we gather in your house today to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. As we read your word today, as we hear your word today, may it remind us of why we are here and the great miracle that has occurred for your people. In your name, amen. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and he believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni." Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, everything changed in that moment. The Easter story is the perfect example of God's will being done. Nothing gets in the way of God's will. It was foretold by the prophets. It was explained by Christ before it occurred. And it all happened exactly as it was supposed to for us. God's will be done. The only words that seem to do justice to this event, God's will be done. No hesitation, no doubt. Clear as a bell. God's will be done. The scripture from John I read relates how the resurrection has just occurred. It is the heart of the Easter story, yet it is not really understood by the people participating in it. It's been foretold by prophets, but the significance of what happened is not really grasped by the witnesses that were there. Even today, it can be difficult for us to fully appreciate the momentous piece of human history and the impact it has had on our lives. We just have to be in awe. The telling the resurrection story by John describes completely human reactions to an astounding event. John, like the good reporter he is, includes all the happenings, both good and bad, the faithful and the unfaithful, the strong and the weak. As the followers of Christ make their way to the tomb, they are shocked by what they see. Expecting the lifeless corpse of their friend, they instead find an empty tomb. They're surprised, and there's different responses by each of them. The story doesn't tell if Peter believes it or not. He simply goes home. Peter went home. Mary misunderstands completely and thinks someone has stolen Jesus' body and begins to grieve the loss all over again. The story shows different responses to the same experience. The scripture shows our human nature and who we are. I mean, just think about it for a minute. Put yourself in these everyday people that we're talking about here that are no different from us. How often do events happen to us that are shocking, scary, unprepared for, sad, and confusing? What's going on in all of our lives right now? The picture on the screen, I'm going to ask Marilyn, could you go back to the picture of the two disciples? It had the scripture on it. It's the one before this one. I hate doing that to you, dear, but I want to talk about that. There it is. That's John in the white and Peter in the dark robe. I don't know if you can see it, but look at Peter. His eyes are kind of buggy. He's apprehensive. He doesn't know what to think. I think he's even a little bit scared. And John, look at him. Yes. Yes. Yes, that's John. Two completely different approaches to Jesus being missing. It's a favorite picture of mine. Hangs on the wall in my home office. It's a picture that just touches me to my core. I think we all remember things happening, occurrences that leave a lasting impression upon us. We see Peter with a look on his face. Oh, Lord, now what? Remember, he denied Christ three times. Is he alive? Do I have to face him now? And he often had the wrong take on what was experiencing. When he accompanied Jesus up the mountain where Jesus became glorified, when God spoke, when Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus, he was so overwhelmed, all he could do was offer to put up some huts so they could go camping. And along with most of the other disciples, Peter is scared of the Roman soldiers. They're all in hiding. They're afraid. They're looking for them to crucify them as well. But John, that look on his face, a look of great expectation in his eyes. His hands are clasped. He's holding on. For him, this message that Jesus is not there is good news. And he's excited. Peter's afraid. Peter went home. looked in that empty tomb and just went home. The resurrection is God's exclamation point as to who God is in the world and how God acts. Jesus predicts these events several times throughout the gospel. However, based on what we hear from John, those who heard Jesus before have forgotten what he said. Sounds like us, right? Sounds like us. This story, like so many in the Bible, reveals what it means to be human in the face of God's actions. We humans, we can struggle to get it, can't we? Human nature is slow in realizing who God is and the reality of what God is doing. Trusting God can be challenging. That's the bump in the road we need to get over. It's challenging for all of us. God is putting things in front of us all the time. He reaches out to us through other people. We are his tools. We are all the other people. We are his tools. We're his instruments. Time I got a call from my pastor, and this was a while ago, when I was still a layperson. Got a call from my pastor, and I know many of us have gotten those calls, right? Good evening, Dick. Reverend Longsworth here. You know, I think it's a time for a change in lay leader, and some folks think you may be a good fit for the job. Sometimes, depending on how we feel at the moment or what kind of a day we've had, what do we do? What you do? We say how busy we are with other things. We point out that others may do a much better job than we. We aren't sure how we would do this task. Well, Christ calls everybody. It's unfamiliar. It's unfamiliar. Why don't we ever think it will be a wonderful, life-changing message from God when we get those calls from the pastor? Kind of was for me. Didn't realize. We may not accept or recognize the call from God. Calls like that are God in motion. See, God's always here. He's always working. He's always in motion. And that's when we need to close that gap between confusion and uncertainty and anticipation and expectation. Peter, confusion and uncertainty. John, anticipation, expectation. That's when we can see and accept God's will for us. While I was researching today's worship, I thought of a quote I read some time ago, and I have mentioned it in previous sermons. It read, "God's will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else." Those words seem to ring out in this resurrection story by John. This is who God is and how God works, regardless of our response, regardless of the responses of the people that were there. God's will is being done. See, God is constantly opening doors for us. He offers opportunity, and we are given alternatives too. It could be an ABC, the ability to choose. We have the ability to say yes, no, or maybe. But I don't think we realize that God's plan for us accommodates those alternatives. We have been given free will. Adam and Eve had free will. They made decisions that cost them the garden. Each and every day, we make choices, easy choices, agonizing choices. Regardless of how we choose, they are all in God's plan. If we make choices that are not consistent with being a Christian, the road can sometimes get a little bumpy, but perhaps it was time for us to get a wake-up. But God's will is being done no matter what. God's will is being done. What is God's will? Well, simply, His will is for us to be here in these fleshly bodies, but in this beautiful world full of good and amazing things. God's will is for us to enjoy life. He does want us to be happy. But the world is not perfect for us. It has bad things, temptations, evil. It's impossible for us to not sin, because even a thought, sinful thought, is a sin. But His will is to be here for us through everything. And He works mightily to lead us to His kingdom, where we will have the peace and joy that He promises us. Again, the resurrection is the chief example of the working of God's will. God is going to do what God is going to do, regardless of how we respond. The resurrection is a statement by God that God's will is going to power through life. God's will is going to be done. God's will is always for our benefit. We don't realize that, especially during the tough times. God will do what God will do, period. All that God requires of us is trust. Trust. We must seek to follow where God's will leads us. The best news of all is that God is patient with us as we take a look and decide how we're going to respond to His will and to the pastor. Whether we see and believe like John, see and go home like Peter, or fail to see and misunderstand completely like Mary, God accepts our response. And if we wait a few days before we call the preacher back and accept his request to do God's work, God accepts our response. God patiently works with us to bring us to a place of trust and faith. Pastors, on the other hand, we're not so patient. We're not so patient. I did learn a lesson about trusting God from a wise preacher. In 2008, during the Great Recession, I was unemployed for about 8 or 9 months. So I spent a lot of time at church in between job interviews and applications. A job I took on was maintaining the church signs. I guess it's a gift. I get involved with signs at every church I've served. The person that was doing it moved away, so I just started updating them each week. You know, those signs out front with the big plastic letters in them, they had to be changed every week. Then I got a job, a paying job, a real paying job. So I had to relinquish some of my church duties that I'd acquired during my unemployment. I went to the pastor and told her that she needed to find someone else to take care of that task. And I'm thinking, you know, it was difficult for her to find the last person. That person left. And then it was a little difficult for her to find me. And when I said, "I'm sorry, I know it could be hard to find somebody," she said, "God will provide." And of course he did. Someone stepped up to do the job, and it was a person I did not expect would be willing to do it. Sometimes we need to have patience with God. Amen? We just need to have patience. But we have to realize we have to be patient because He's working for us. Sometimes we just need to step back and let God work. Such patience on God's part in light of all that's going on in the resurrection story is really, it's really amazing. The resurrection means more than just hedging our bets against death. Although it seeks to offer us eternity, it does much more than that. This story reminds us that God is in control in the world. God is going to be who God is and do what God does, regardless of our response. And the good news of this story is God's will be done. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And if we would like a short answer as to what God's will for us is, what is it that God wants for you and for me? What is God working for in this world? What is it I could have said at the beginning of this sermon and made it a lot shorter? God desires to save you. He seeks